are back on the Bengals Beat podcast, draft edition. We'll have these each night, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Lindsey Patterson, Tyler Dragon, Charlie Goldsmith, how you guys doing?
Well, this was an exciting day. The Bengals, it was Zach Taylor's third draft as a head coach. They went with a wide receiver. The debate is over. The Ja'Marr Chase, Penei Sewell debate is officially over. We can move past it. I mean, there are some that disagree, and there are some that agree with the pick. I know Lindsey is definitely on the team Ja'Marr Chase. Charlie and I think we're in the bandwagon, probably offensive lineman, but overall, I get why the Bengals made the pick. It was a good pick, and the Bengals improved tonight, and that's all you can ask for at the end of the day for a Bengals fan and for the Bengals franchise.
I'll get to a little more analysis in a minute, but shout out to Ja'Marr Chase, who got me on the Bengals Zoom today. In the middle of the Zoom, I asked him what he thought of Zach Taylor, and he says, who? And meanwhile, I'm panicking. I'm like, did I just mess up the name of the Bengals head coach on the very first draft I'm covering? This is an awful look for me, and people are going to see this. And then Ja'Marr's like, nah, man, I'm just kidding. And of course, Taylor is the head coach of the Bengals, and then he gave a very thoughtful answer. I'm very excited to see how he does in the Bengals offense.
That pause felt like 5 minutes from Ja'Marr Chase and all of us in the media, because all of our Zoom cameras on and I look at every little square and everybody's like, oh no, he doesn't know the head coach. And then he got us all, but that was pretty good by Ja'Marr Chase. And just getting about 10 to 15 minutes with him, guys, I feel like he is filled with all the confidence in the world. Obviously adds another weapon, reunion with his former quarterback and Joe Burrow. And you hear from Zach Taylor, Brian Callahan. Those guys sounded like it was going to be Ja'Marr Chase all along. Look, they were dropping hits, what I felt like in some of their press conferences when they said they're getting a premier player, someone who's going to start day one. Not to say an offensive lineman wasn't going to start day one, but it just felt like it was going to be a playmaker in Ja'Marr Chase. I know there were reports early, you know, over the last couple of weeks that Joe Burrow was pushing for this or anything like that. Zach Taylor shut all of that down. He did ask the quarterback what he thought about bringing Ja'Marr Chase to Cincinnati on a scale of 1 to 10. And, of course, Joe Burrow said 10. But after hearing Ja'Marr Chase, you heard from the head coach, Zach Taylor, Brian Callahan, the offensive coordinator. What were some of your overall reactions to the pick?
Well, you alluded to it. The biggest takeaway that jumped out to me from Ja'Marr Chase's introductory press conference was his confidence. He said he wants to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. He wants to gain 1,500 yards receiving, 10 touchdowns. He wants to rewrite the Bengals record books. That was quite the introductory press conference, but that I like the confidence. I like athletes who, you know, talk the talk and walk the walk. So now the question is if he can walk the walk, because he definitely showed us tonight that he can talk the talk. But that's what jumped out to me. He's already penciled in as the Bengals outside receiver at that X spot. Zach Taylor, he has sounded like this was the Bengals pick all along. That's basically what I've been hearing for a couple months now. At first, I was on the Penei Sewell bandwagon and thinking that the Bengals were going to select him. But then I started hearing rumblings and rumors that the team really liked Ja'Marr Chase and wanted to draft a receiver. And then free agency just made those rumors even stronger, because they kind of addressed the offensive line positions. They re-signed Quinn Spain. They added Riley Reiff. But they let A.J. Green walk to the Arizona Cardinals, and there was a little hole right there at the outside with A.J. Green. So based on that and based on what sources told me and what rumors were saying, I thought the Bengals were targeting LSU wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase. And tonight they proved you correct, Lindsey. They proved me correct and a lot of other people who have been saying that the Bengals were, you know, leaning towards Ja'Marr Chase. And tonight, Thursday night, they made it official with the number 5 overall pick.
And today was also a reminder how much of a better position the Bengals are than they were a year ago. Think back to when they drafted Joe Burrow. We weren't sure. They didn't guarantee that Burrow would start week one. There were concerns about, you know, getting him to that next step and getting a quarterback in right away. And what do you do about these different weaknesses on the roster? How does Joe Burrow adapt to that? Well, while all of those concerns have been addressed, you can be much more confident in what you're going to see from Jamar Chase in week one. The Bengals did with Chase what they didn't really do with Burrow and said he is going to be a starter. They said exactly how they're going to use him. He's going to be a deep threat. He's going to get the ball in his hands on big plays, and he's going to be able to make plays with yards after the catch. Again, Joe Burrow is the most important Bengal, but Joe Burrow's presence allows Jamar Chase to be a very reliable, very dependable, and you know what you're going to get for your fifth round pick.
I think when you look at the second round for the Cincinnati Bengals, I mean, the writing was on the wall. Obviously, they're going to go offensive line. They believed in this offensive line class. And I think after you just watched the first round, some of the biggest takeaways when I would watch it is some of the teams who I thought needed offensive line help too, who are going wide receiver. They're getting secondary help. They're getting D-line help. And they passed on the offensive line because they feel similar to how the Bengals feel, that it's going to be available, a starter for the offensive line, guard, tackle, that they can plug in. And on day one will be available in the second round. And I think that's obviously the route the Bengals are going. But when you look at the board right now, after one round, where do you think they're going to go in round two? Because I know a lot of people in their mock simulator had Alex Leatherwood being available at 38. I thought he might be available late in the first, early second. Some even had him in the middle of the second round. I still feel like Oakland reached, or I feel like Las Vegas reached a little bit with that 17 pick, but I don't know, the offensive line, I still feel like there's plenty of options right now.
I mean, there are plenty of options, especially I would say Jenkins from Oklahoma State. That's a player that I would probably target. But it's hard to tell because I definitely have Leatherwood as a fringe first-round talent or right there at the beginning of the second round. I thought he was a player that the Bengals, well, I heard that the Bengals were targeting him and believed that he was one of those players that it was a starting caliber offensive lineman. Now with him off the board, I can see the Bengals going lineman, but then I can see them also going to the defensive line. Zach Taylor said on the Bengals Beat podcast when he had him on that he wanted to get better in the trenches and up front on both sides of the ball. He said that on our podcast. So I'm not going to just say the Bengals are locked in on any offensive lineman available, no matter who it is, because I Zach Taylor told me on the podcast, and the Bengals had plenty of other needs. So I'm not sure if the Bengals address the offensive line in the second round. Do I think they will? Probably, but I won't say it's a foregone conclusion.
So I was all ready to hop on this podcast and ride the Liam Eichenberg bandwagon because of his versatility at guard, inside at first, and then his just punch and power as a tackle, being able to play there long term. But man, with Tevin Jenkins slipping, it's incredibly interesting. From conversations I had before the draft, what the Bengals value the most on the offensive line are physical traits and potential and things like that. And Tevin Jenkins ran a 4.96 40 and had 36 reps on the bench press. He's one of the fastest and one of the strongest offensive linemen in this year's class. He's 6'6", 320, and he started 35 games at three different positions. All of those things make him a very, very, very high upside option for the Bengals. It's what made him a potential first-round pick as well, as we all expected. I didn't even have him on my initial big board for potential Bengals second-round targets, yet here he is. If Tevin Jenkins is off the board by then, I'll go back to Liam Eichenberg and Walker Little. Little is a guy who hasn't played a ton, but I do think has the highest potential of any tackle who could be available at 38. And then on the defensive side, the four prospects I have listed are Christian Barrymore, defensive tackle from Alabama, Carlos Bassam Jr., defensive end from Wake Forest, Joseph Asai from Texas, Levi Onwuzuruki from Washington. The one whose name I have highlighted is Barrymore. He's the best interior defensive lineman in this draft. He only has one season of like full-time starting experience, but man, he can push the pocket, both in run situations and in pass situations. He can really be a three-down defensive tackle. And you can get him opportunities early, rotating in by an Ogunjobi and Reader. But down the road, honestly, he could play with either one of them. And that's a really intriguing combination.
Second, third, fourth round, that's where it's going to get interesting, because obviously they have to add to both of the lines when you think offense and defensive right now. But Charlie's big board is something you're going to want to check out. I know I'll have that over on social media and keep up with who's available and best available in the second, third, fourth round as the weekend progresses. Tyler, it's that time of the podcast. I know this is going to be a shorter version, everybody. I do have an interview with Austin Gill at the end of the podcast, along with hearing from the number five pick, Jamar Chase. But what are your questions of the pod?
So it's only one tonight, and you guys could select the multiple teams. But which teams had the best first round tonight in the NFL draft?
So I would say, obviously, it'd probably go easier with someone who has had two picks in the first round. You could say the Jags, Baltimore. I always like what Baltimore is able to do in the NFL draft, even though I was a little surprised they didn't get a little bit of offensive line help. I will say this. I liked this pick. I wouldn't say it was the best overall or anything like that. I like how it slipped to the Chargers. I like Rashawn Slater. I want to see what he's going to be able to do on the offensive line. Obviously, Justin Herbert's going to get a little added protection. I like the pick. I like that he slipped. Some people had Rashawn Slater ahead of Penei Sewell in the NFL mock draft. So I think that's kind of one of my favorite picks that slipped. I'm going to name off like all the picks I like. So I'm not even going to think of that. That's going to keep us here all night. But I like the Rashawn Chargers pick, that it slipped a little bit, little further than I thought it would. And the Jags, I feel like it's easy to point at them right now and what they were able to do. And obviously, when you get more than one pick in the first round, that doesn't hurt either.
I was quite literally 100% ready to say the Chicago Bears, because I was going to make the argument that Justin Fields is going to be the biggest difference maker in terms of winning this season, obviously playing the quarterback position and being the upgrade that he brings to a team that's more built to compete than some of the other rookies. But I just saw a tweet that Andy Dalton's the starter right now in Chicago, so that takes him off the board and I'm scrambling. So I'll go with, you know, I really like Kwity Paye throughout the pre-draft process. I think that Indianapolis already had a dynamic pass rushing group, and Kwity Paye is going to get a ton of sacks just building off that and developing into his own right as well. I'll go with Kwity Paye. So that's the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, I have a few teams. I think Jacksonville is the easy answer. They have Clemson University down there in Jacksonville now with Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne. I think those were two really good picks. The 49ers surprised me with Trevor Lance. I thought that was a good pick. I'm glad they didn't reach for Mac Jones. I thought that if they drafted Mac Jones at three, that would have been a reach. Kyle Pitts in Atlanta, that is an explosive offense with Julio Jones, Matt Ryan. That's going to be an exciting offense to watch. Who else? Oh, I do have to agree with Lindsay on the Rashawn Slater pick. Chargers protect rookie of the year, offense rookie of the year, Justin Herbert. I do like that pick. And I know Bengals fans are not going to like it, but I have to say that the Pittsburgh Steelers getting Najee Harris, the best running back in the draft. He was a stud coming out of California, and then he went to Alabama and proved that he was the best running back in college football last year. Pittsburgh likes to run the football. That's a great pick for the Steelers.
I have nothing against the player, not at all, when it comes to Pittsburgh. I don't agree with it. I didn't like the pick for them.
Okay. Okay. Let me just ask you, why don't you like the pick?
I didn't think that running back was a huge problem, like one of their biggest problems. And obviously we can get into the
wide. They have the worst rushing team in the league.
I think you could even make the play that they needed offensive line help. And yes, exactly. I'm talking about the Cincinnati Bengals needed offensive line help too, but I think you could have pointed to Pittsburgh right there waiting for them. Obviously there's offensive line, it's depth. I've talked about it plenty of times. I felt like that would have probably been where I would have went if I was Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Now the Steelers, they lost some offensive linemen in free agency and due to retirement, but they had the worst rushing attack in the National Football League last year. So they have holes too. In my opinion, they're based on their roster, they're the third best team in the AFC North. So they had to play catch up to, even though they had a pretty good season last year, their window is closing. But I think Najee Harris is a playmaker for that Pittsburgh Steelers offense.
Charlie, you got an offensive lineman though.
Yes, I know. And I sound, people are going to be like, oh, the Cincinnati Bengals need an offensive lineman.
I know you guys. I mean, I don't.
So I really,
the Cincinnati Bengals need offensive lineman too, but okay.
It's really an argument that I'm not going to win. And that's why on Twitter, I responded to your tweet. I actually just said, hey, I have nothing against the player. I don't agree with that pick for Pittsburgh. I know a lot of mock drafts had it working that way. I just don't agree with it. And yes, I know it sounds silly for me to say Pittsburgh should have gone offensive lineman, and you can point at Cincinnati, but I like Jamar Chase better than going running back in the first round. I think those are two opposite playmakers when you think what they're going to do for both offenses. I just didn't agree with that for Pittsburgh. Just say that.
Okay. Well, it's funny how you don't want the Bengals to get an offensive lineman, but you want the Steelers to get an offensive lineman.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
Running back are very different positions.
Yeah. Jamar Chase is far different as a playmaker for the Cincinnati Bengals. And I when Zach Taylor said it was a no-brainer, I could see why. When I talked to people in the league, they had Kyle Pitts, Trevor Lawrence, and Jamar Chase as their top three at times. Not everyone, as their top three prospects in this draft. So I agree, the Cincinnati Bengals got a playmaker. They admitted they're still going to address their offensive line. We have talked about this plenty of times. I still think their offensive line is in better shape than it was last season. Yes, Trey Hopkins to be determined at center. You get Jonah Williams back. He's healthy right now. Yes, he has to stay healthy in the NFL. Oh, my gosh. We talk about this offensive line a lot. Riley Reiff over at right tackle. Move Quentin Spain at left guard. And that's not guaranteed that he's going to start there week one. This draft is not over. It's just getting started when it comes to the offensive line for the Cincinnati Bengals.
This is true. I will say that there's a reason. Ken Anderson told me, Anthony Munoz, and several current players, former players, including Booger McFarland, said that it will be male practice if the Bengals select anything other than an offensive lineman with the number 5 pick. Now, I get it. I get it. I get it why they selected Jamar Chase. I get it. He's going to be a good receiver. But you better protect that quarterback. You better protect him. That's all I'm going to say.
Charlie, I feel like you want to say something. Because our cameras are on. Normally we'll have all our cameras on, but Charlie always has his on, and it just feels like Charlie's about to say something, and I'm ready for it.
This is an argument we should save this for like May, for June.
We should. This offensive line, they haven't even started day two yet,
so. Really, I mean, this, we're going to talk about the Bengals run game, I think, all of May, June, July, and August. I'm calling
September.
It now. That is going to be the topic of the Bengals offseason, even more than who plays where on the offensive line. I'm calling it now.
I feel like this was an unfiltered podcast, but this is a real reaction as we're getting close to one.
I'm just keeping it real. The Chargers protected their offensive rookie of the year quarterback.
Hey, we're all allowed to have an opinion.
Yes, we are.
I just don't agree
with that. We shall see, though.
Yeah, well, we will see. There's plenty to talk about, guys. It's day one. We're wrapping up day one. Plenty on Cincinnati.com. What is up there, guys?
So I have a story on Jamar Chase. The Bengals selecting him number 5 overall. Basically, we reset everything tonight, but go check it out. And then I will have an analysis piece about how he fits in the Bengals offense. In their 11 personnel style offense, they're going to run an LSU type style offense with those type of plays. They ran them last year. They're going to run them again this year. It's going to be a LSU North in Cincinnati this coming season.
And I have all of the prospects that are likely on the Bengals board for the 38th pick, from offensive linemen to a few edge rushers and a couple defensive tackles, but mostly offensive linemen.
And we have a Bengals Beat podcast extra. You're going to hear from the number 5 pick, Jamar Chase, when he talked to the media after being selected by the Cincinnati Bengals. And earlier this week, I talked with PFF's Austin Gale about Jamar Chase, if the Bengals were going to select him at 5, and possible offensive line options.
Yeah, this one's tough. The best thing about it, too, and I know there's been a lot of argument over what the Cincinnati Bengals should do at number 5, and should they take Penei Sewell, Joe Burrow coming off a season-ending injury, they need to help the offensive line, or do they pair him up with his former teammate from LSU, Jamar Chase, and feed that narrative, help him replace AJ Green there, fill him with obviously T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. I currently would lean Jamar Chase. And the reason for that is I do think that the ceiling projection for both Jamar Chase and Penei Sewell, they both hit their ceiling projections in the NFL. I think the elite receiver Jamar Chase can be is better and more valuable to this team in the win column than the elite offensive tackle Penei Sewell can be. You know, some people say you draft Penei Sewell and you don't have to worry about that position. You don't have to worry about that left tackle position for 10 years. When I'm drafting in the top 5, I don't want to draft a player I don't have to worry about for 10 years. I want to draft a player every other team has to worry about for 10 years. And that's what Jamar Chase can be. Penei Sewell is not going to show up in the game plans of opposing defense coordinators. Jamar Chase can wreak havoc on opposing defense coordinators. I do think that adding him to this offense, if he hits his elite projection, which I think he can, is the better route for this team. Again, but I'll say this, they can't go wrong. If Kyle Pitts falls to them, that's a fantastic choice. If they opt for Penei Sewell over Jamar Chase, that's going to help this team a ton. I don't think they can go wrong. And that is the beauty of how good this quarterback class is. And obviously, since they Bengals being in a good position with Joe Burrow under center.
What do you say to the people who say, oh, they have Tyler Boyd, they have T. Higgins. Why do they need to add another wide receiver?
Well, Jamar Chase is different. You know, no team is a Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins away from not needing Jamar Chase. I think Jamar Chase honestly could be in play for the Atlanta Falcons at 4 if Kyle Pitts wasn't in this class. I think the Miami Dolphins would jump at Jamar Chase if he falls to 6. Even Detroit at 7. This is a legit wide receiver one in the NFL. A guy that did things to SEC competition at 19 years old that I don't think we'll ever see a receiver do again, like full stop. A.J. Terrell, Trayvon Diggs, C.J. Henderson, all at 19 years old in the SEC, dominated every single player he went up against. The only guy that really slowed him down was Cameron Dantzler of Mississippi State, and that's a top 50 pick in his own right. Like, that's another player starting on Sundays in the NFL. He saw the best competition I think any receiver has seen in the SEC over a course of one season and dominated each week. I really do think that Jamar Chase is just a different breed. And, you know, a lot, there are a few receivers over the past 10, 15 years that you feel so confident translating to the NFL, so confident being top 5 picks after only seeing their 19-year-old seasons. You know, the receivers oftentimes don't really hit their stride in college until 20, 21 years old. It's why others like Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, those two guys are going to be 24 years old in the next 12 months. Jamar Chase can't even buy a beer yet, I'm pretty sure. Like, that's just how different he was in college. I really do think that Jamar Chase, and you see it when you read some of these reports from, you know, people from the league and those types of things, the consensus number one and the consensus number one wide receiver for a reason.
What do you say to people too? You had your tiers today, your tier one, your tier two, your tier three when it comes to wide receiver. I think I was hearing a little over a month ago, people would say, ah, they can get that wide receiver in the second or third round. Not the same as the available offensive tackles, offensive guards that they can get in the second round. The drop-off seems pretty big when it's the wide receiver.
You know, it is big. I think that wide receiver position after tier one, you're looking at guys that I don't think, in my opinion, so tier one is Jamar Chase, Devontae Smith, and Jalen Waddle, guys that I think can be transcendent starting caliber receivers in the NFL. After that, Rashad Bateman and Elijah Moore can also be that, but I feel less confident in them actually hitting that ceiling projection like I do a Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Jamar Chase. And then looking at tier three and tier four, those are guys that I think are largely slot type gadget players that you still need to see a lot more of. And then you compare that to offensive tackle. The difference is, to have, you know, starting caliber, difference-making talent to wide receiver position, you need players that are top 15 in the league at wide receiver. To be good along the offensive line, you just can't be terrible at any one position. That's why filling offensive line, specifically tackle interior offensive line at the back end of the first round or at the top of the second round in this class is going to be the sweet spot. Right now, according to PFF, there are 8 different offensive tackles that rank inside the top 40. Some of those guys are going to fall. Alex Leatherwood of Alabama, Sam Cosmi of Texas, Dylan Raidens, North Dakota State, all 3 of those guys, if they're available to the Bengals at the top of round 2, you can get a starting caliber offensive tackle there and allow you more versatility with how you play your front 5 in 2021.
I'm going back to the wide receivers right now. You and I have talked about Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins plenty of times in the 2020 season. If they add Jamar Chase, where does this put the wide receiver group in the NFL?
Man, that is tough. I remember last year we were talking about the Cincinnati Bengals receiving corps with A.J. Green coming back being one of the more underrated groups. I still think it's a lot of unproven. You know, I think T. Higgins did well last year, still want to see more. Tyler Boyd being able to exclusively work in the slot, not be the go-to guy, not necessarily be their only option there, I think is going to help him a ton as well. And then you add in Jamar Chase. This is a receiving corps capable of hitting maybe what the Falcons did, obviously with Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, and then this, you know, different players that have had success for them in the slot. That's where I think they could be. Because I think Jamar Chase, he's not Julio Jones, but I think he can have Julio Jones-like production in the NFL. And I think T. Higgins, not Calvin Ridley, but I think can hit that production in the NFL. I think you have to remind you, I think the thing that no one's talking about this year too is how much better Joe Burrow is going to be next year. Obviously, everyone's like hoping he just comes back healthy, but I mean, he's coming off one of the better rookie seasons we've seen. He looked really good from a clean pocket. One of the more accurate rookie seasons we've seen since we started grading every single throw from a location standpoint over the past 3-4 years. So I think Joe Burrow takes a step forward. This offensive line takes a step forward. You add in a Jamar Chase. I mean, this is an offense that should in a division that I think is a bit up and down. I think the Cleveland Browns are the favorite to win it this year. Baltimore obviously hoping for Lamar Jackson to see more of his MVP caliber season. But if Joe Burrow takes a significant stride forward, I think they could be competing for the division.
I think when you look at the offensive line right now, they bring Riley Reiff in. Obviously, that's going to be 1 year, maybe 2 years at right tackle. Left tackle Jonah Williams is doing okay with his rehab. Billy Price might start the season at center if Trey Hopkins can't go. You move Quentin Spain over to a spot where he feels comfortable at left guard. They may draft a guard in the second or third round or tackle, move him over to guard. What do you think the best approach for the Cincinnati Bengals in the second and third round when it comes to the guard? And then also the future at right tackle.
I really do think they should double dip at the position. Like, this is a very good offensive line class, both, I mean, at tackle, center, and guard. Like, there are a ton of really, really talented offensive linemen, and you can get starting caliber players, I think, into pick 80, into pick 90. That's how good I think this offensive line class is. I really like the names I said before: Alex Leatherwood of Alabama, Sam Cosmi of Texas, Dylan Raiden of North Dakota State, and then get deeper cuts. Jackson Carman could play guard or tackle in the NFL. Creed Humphrey, center or guard in the NFL. Quinn Miners of Wisconsin Whitewater, center likely in the NFL. Kendrick Green, Illinois. Wyatt Davis, Ohio State. Like, these are guys that are in PFF's top 100 that I would not be afraid to start in 2021. Like, that's how good this interior offensive line class is. And there's a handful of names I didn't even mention, some other tackle guard converts that could, you know, play at a really, really high level early on in their careers. I think the strength of the quarterback class, the strength of the wide receiver class, that's going to drive some of these guys down. And I also think the scarcity of the defensive side of the ball here, like, there are not a lot of blue chip defensive players in this draft, so much that you could see guys get overdrafted and push some of these talented players at deeper positions down draft boards. Bengals, again, really, really good spot. You can't lose at five, in my opinion, unless you obviously pull something completely out of the cards. But if you go Pitts, Sewell, or Chase, that is a fantastic start to the 2021 NFL draft, something we'll likely see on Thursday. And then after that, I think you attack the trenches. Go after, tackle, and into your offensive line depth to fuel that offensive line and take advantage of this deep class.
I think they're going to add to the defensive side. The question is, if they do it in the third or fourth round, who's an edge guy that could be available who could help and add depth to their defensive line?
I think my favorite edge guy that probably comes off the board closer to round three, round four is Rashad Weaver of Pittsburgh. I think there are not a lot of talented edge defenders that I'd feel confident starting week one of 2021 outside of Rashad Weaver. I mean, he's almost 24 years old, a little bit of an older prospect, but he's probably got some of the best hands of any defensive end in this class. He's not an elite athlete. He's never going to be Khalil Mack or Von Miller in the NFL, but what he's going to be is a very good run defender out of the gate, a very good technical pass rusher out of the gate. And that's what you're looking for. If you can bring in capable starters along the defensive line, like a Rashad Weaver, I'd even look interior as well. Aleem McNeil of NC State, Tyler Shelvin, LSU, Bobby Brown, Texas A&M. There's a lot of guys that in that round three, four, five range, you can go get capable starters along the defensive line. Are you going to get Hall of Famers? No. No one gets Hall of Famers in rounds three, four, and five outside of some obvious outliers there. So I think going and getting starters along the defensive line, it could be a move for Bengals definitely in late round three or round four.
I don't even know why I'm going to ask you this, but Tyler Dragon made me answer it today, and I couldn't come up with an answer. I said, I'm going to ask one of the best who watches the film and the plays of college NFL football players. And he said, if you could redraft, only having a little bit of Joe Burrow's rookie season, the unknown of what Trevor Lawrence can do in the NFL, only college tape, who would you take at one?
Man, that's tough. I know there are some people that would take Joe Burrow, but I'd probably still take Trevor Lawrence, but it's close. I think right now, if you put him in this class, I would have Trevor Lawrence 1, Joe Burrow 2, and then it's going to be a lot of conversation between Herbert, obviously, and some of the other quarterbacks in this year's class, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, et cetera. But I do think that Joe Burrow would be the number 2 overall quarterback for me. I still am very, very confident in what he does as an accurate passer from the pocket, also very athletic within the pocket. I do think that Joe Burrow, again, in a league where we're seeing arm talent and these off-platform throws, dominate the conversation, it's pushing guys down like Joe Burrow that have consistent success from the pocket, consistently accurate. And that's not to say, I know, Joe Burrow's not going to put a lot of Mahomes throws on his tape, but that's not to say he's not creative outside the pocket. We saw what he can do along the sideline with his accuracy and his decision-making. So I think Joe Burrow's getting underrated to agree, which is hard to say and kind of crazy to say after being the number 1 overall pick, but he is getting underrated when people are obviously staring at the flashes that are Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen's third-year leap, Justin Herbert starting out a lot better than people expected, like all those things kind of pushing Joe Burrow down people's eyes. And I do think that he's going to surprise some people this year.
Plenty on PFF. What is up there? What can fans check out over the next week?
biggest thing, we have, you know, promo code right now, DRAFT30, saves you 30% off on any PFF subscription. And then we're going to be live on PFF.com, YouTube, and Twitter for 3 days on Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night, looking at the NFL draft. Every single pick, analysis from me, Renner, others, Chris Collinsworth will be on the show. A lot of fun stuff there.
Check it out, PFF, Austin Gale. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Next on the Bengals Beat Podcast Extra, hear from rookie wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase on being selected by the Cincinnati Bengals.
Describe the feeling when you got the call from the Bengals and who called you.
It was an amazing feeling, you know, getting that call, of course, you know, being a fifth pick. I just couldn't really believe it at the most part. You know, I was wondering who was actually calling my phone. Like, is somebody really calling me right now? And I seen the Ohio area code, and I just was like, this is it. And hey, coach called me, coach called me and told me, he's like, we're gonna draft you and make you a Cincinnati Bengal.
How does it feel to be reunited with Joe Burrow?
It feels good going back with him, you know, getting back with this content we're going to do. Got to get back on schedule, work hard again, and make some plays.
Ja'Marr, you were wearing a jacket, and you had a lot of pictures in there of a lot of people. As we say, it takes a village to raise a child. Talk about representing your hometown and all the people that were adorned in your jacket.
All right. My jacket is just my biggest support system. You know, all of my friends, family that's been watching me this whole time, you know, staying with me this whole time. You know, I just wanted to show my love and support like they have been doing this whole time. So it's nothing but me just giving my love back like they're doing to me.
Ja'Marr, Twitter was losing its mind about the shoes when they saw your shoes with the orange and black. So we have to know.
That's crazy.
Was that planned out, thinking like the Bengals might take you? Did you have a good feeling they might? Did you want them to? I mean, what was the thought process in that?
It's crazy because the shoes were actually not – this was a last-minute pick with the shoes, actually. And it just so happened to be the orange color. You know, I like them, that I like how they look with my suit, and I stayed with it. So I even had to go get an orange handkerchief just to make sure it looked correctly.
Ja'Marr, you mentioned the excitement to play with Joe again. Do you feel like you guys can be even more dangerous in the NFL than you were at LSU?
Definitely. You know, there's always room to grow, and I think this is another way, another chance for me to grow, and also Joe. I definitely can learn more about the game because he definitely taught me some stuff when I was at LSU, so I think this will be easy.
Did he call and catch you yet?
Say it again?
Did he call and wish you congratulations yet or text you?
I actually don't know. My phone has been ringing in my pocket for the past 10 minutes. I haven't took it out of my pocket yet, actually, so I'm hoping he called.
Ja'Marr, how much have you guys talked, you and Joe, about this potential reunion?
Me and Joe talked about this maybe like 3-4 times, actually. We talked about it a good bit of times. He texted me this morning letting me know, get your bags packed. So I guess that means that was going to be the pick. I don't know if that was a hint or what. So he sent me that little text this morning. And I was like, okay, I'm ready, bro.
Ja'Marr, I remember you kept a list on your mirror, I think, at home. You kept a list on your mirror of goals.
Right.
Wondering just kind of broadly what they were, and was being the fifth pick in the draft ever on that list?
Actually, the fifth pick in the draft was not on that list. I just wanted to be drafted. You know, I think that was the biggest happiness I had all night, you know, being drafted. But, you know, everything else is falling in place now.
Was it playing for a national champion and stuff like that and getting a thousand?
Yeah, my goals on my mirror were, you know, 10 touchdowns, 1,500 yards, 100 yards a game. I actually had the Blitzenkopf Award in my on top of my mirror a few games in. So I actually know I had a chance of winning it once the season started.
After you had the great season you had in 2019, how tough was the decision to opt out last year?
Yeah, it was definitely a tough decision. I mean, the decision looked easy from the outlooks, but from the in looks, you know, everything is going crazy. So it was a long process, you know, waiting that whole time, waiting for my family and friends, you know, just making sure they were still supporting me as I was going through this journey that I've never been through. So I just, you know, just want to say I just have a blessed moment to actually have the chance to opt out and make it at this point.
Do you have any goals for the pros? I mean, you know, what are you going to put on your mirror, you know, tomorrow? Yeah. Do you have any goals for your pro career?
I definitely have some goals. I want to win Rookie of the Year. I want to have 10 touchdowns, and I want to have at least 1,500 yards or 1,000 yards minimum for this year.
2019, Joe Brady was your offensive coordinator, and you were in a pro-style offense working against, you know, SEC corners that were high draft picks in the NFL. Do you feel like being part of that whole thing will make your transition that much easier to the NFL?
Definitely. Just by how I handled myself at LSU, you know, with Joe Brady and Coach O and Mickey, those guys made me into the man I am today. That made me a better football player. I think, you know, me going with the Bengals would just be easier, you know, going back to the old players we probably had. So it shouldn't be nothing new for me.
Jamar, what did you like about playing with Joe those two seasons at LSU?
Me and Joe built a relationship in the summertime before my sophomore year. I like the way Joe handles himself. You know, he's always calm, very collective, you know, and he's not afraid to tell me something. So that's something I love that for my quarterback. You know, me and him is always talking. We're on the same page, communicating about the defenses, offenses. So I'm always willing to learn and have an open ear whenever Joe's talking to me.
What's that like for you to kind of have that relationship already built in as you're making this transition from the college to the pros?
I think it's a big thing, you know. This is something that, you know, a lot of people might not have the chance to do, especially be with their quarterback that they want to blend comfortable with. So I think that's something that's going to be great. You know, we're going to might have a tremendous start. We'll see what week one brings us.
Jamar, you started to really evolve into the wide receiver position. Was there any wide receiver that you looked up to, maybe patterned your game after as you started to become really skilled at this craft?
Definitely. When I was growing up, Ezekiel Elliott's first year, that was my favorite team, Dallas Cowboys, actually. I was always watching Dez Bryant. That was somebody I grew onto as I grew up. And then once I got older, I started watching Stephon Diggs and watching how he moved and shifted his body in different ways and always stopped on a dime. So for the most part now, I just try to take as many pieces from different players and add them to my own.
Thank you.
Jamar, obviously you had that record-setting season in 2019. How has your game improved over the past 16 months or so?
Yeah, my game definitely going to make a tremendous jump. I don't know how it's improved already, but I'm definitely willing to see for myself. You know, I haven't played a whole year of football. So when I get back to practice, getting back to feeling like myself again, I definitely know for sure I have a great season.
Did you watch the Bengals more closely this season because of Joe, and what did you learn about the team?
I actually did watch the Bengals play one time. They played on TV. I seen that they ran a couple of LSU plays, you know, but that's a good thing, you know. For the most part, you know, watching Joe, I'm always going to follow Joe, and just because, you know, he's a bud of mine, had a quarterback relationship. So, you know, I was always cheering him on like I do the rest of the LSU guys.
Jamar, outside of the obvious winning the national championship, do you have a best memory with Joe, whether it's on the field or off the field? Do you have a best memory that you look back on with Joe Burrow?
I'll probably say Ole Miss game when I put on some icy hot. It was pretty cold that game. I actually put some stuff on my arms, and Joe didn't like it. He told me to take it off because I'm getting the ball too slippery. So I'll probably say that was actually a funny moment for me because I wasn't expecting him to go off on me about that.
You got a lot of traits that wide receivers, you know, covet. What do you think is your best trait at the wide receiver position? What do you do best in your mind?
Yeah, my best trait at receiver, that's the reason why I'm the best receiver in this draft. My high point is the best thing I have. You can definitely see that for looks. I have strong hands. That's the high point again. Releases are getting cleaner. And then my routes are very good. You know, I make a good way of getting a defender off me because they always hold me. I never did get a call in college. So just looking at my film will show you how good my routes are.
Why were you describe? Can you describe the summer of 10,000 catches and what that did for your development?
Yeah, the summer of the 10,000 catches actually was a great move for me, actually. It made me realize how much that I need to catch the ball more, you know, just keeping that same routine of catching footballs in your mind all the time. I think that's something that, you know, NFL is now my job. So, you know, catching the ball is my job now. So that's all that I have to do. So the 10,000 catches might start again this summer. So it was a good jump for me.
Jamar, who shared the moment with you tonight in the NFL draft room? I know your parents were there. Who all was? Did you want to share that moment with you?
Yeah, my brother Terrell was there. My mom, my dad, my cousin Jada was there. Mickey Joseph was there. Coach O, my agents, and those were it. You know, I just couldn't you know, have, I couldn't ask for a better support than the guys who were in the room tonight. So I just say thank you for that.
You know, Jamar, obviously Joe's coming off the knee injury, and you know, how do you phase that in? Have you kind of talked to him about being able to get those routes with him early as he's trying to come off? I mean, what does that timetable look like for y'all to kind of get that chemistry back to kind of where it was when y'all were at LSU?
Yeah, I'll see where he is on his injury. I'm pretty sure, you know, whenever I meet with him, we'll probably get a session in as soon as we could, you know, whenever he's feeling great. But for the most part, you know, health is the biggest thing in the NFL, and I think he can get his health first. Worry about his health is the first thing first, and then get back to me.
Jamar, did you have a pecking order in your mind of teams that you maybe wanted to go to before the draft started? And what was it you wanted to get most out of whatever team ended up taking you in this draft?
I actually didn't care where I went, man. It's just a blessing to be here, you know, for the most part. I really just wanted to get drafted by anybody. I mean, anybody could have got me, you know, I would try to make an impact. So it's just a blessing, honestly, man, just to say I got the fifth pick. That's before Jamal Adams. So, I mean, that's a high pick, you know. So I'm going to go back home and go laugh at my friends about this. This is crazy. It still doesn't feel real at the moment. So I'm just going to enjoy it, soak it all in.
I'm sure you and Joe Burrow spoke more than once prior to the draft. What did he have to tell you about the Cincinnati Bengals organization?
Joe didn't really tell me so much about the organization yet. I mean, we didn't really talk about anything about the organization. We're talking about ourselves, really trying to make sure we're back on the page and talking about he low-key be recruiting me on the low, telling me we getting you and stuff like that. So that was a conversation we've been having lately. So
what was your reaction like when he was low-key recruiting you and saying, hey, we're going to go get you?
I actually was believing him. Sometimes I was like, stop playing with me. And then sometimes, you know, I was like, okay, bro, I got you. I'm ready now. So I believed him this morning when he told me, you know, pack my bag. So that's when I finally was like, damn, he might really be calling this. So that's when I took his word.
You're known for your strength. What is the strongest thing you've ever done? The strongest thing you've picked up or thrown or?
Yeah.
I mean,
I hand cleaned 395 one time. So that was probably end of my freshman year. I definitely did that. I got a video of it. So that was probably something the strongest thing I did. I haven't been really lifting too heavy anymore.
What have been your early impressions on Zach Taylor?
Zach Taylor?
Head coach.
Messing with you, my guy. But yeah, he called me early, you know, telling me you know, we're excited to have you. And he was talking about, you know, building that chemistry back up with Joe. So, I mean, I'm ready. You know, I told him I can't wait to put on a show. Let's do it, Coach.
Jamar, were you able to sleep the last couple of nights, or were you just staying up with anticipation waiting on this moment?
I actually been being calm this whole time. I actually didn't know where I was going to go until probably an hour before I got here. So, I was staying calm. I slept like a baby last night, to be honest, man. I was pretty tired, man. Ohio and New Orleans time zone is a little different. So I definitely crashed when I got inside last night.
So you'll probably sleep well tonight then.
I definitely will. I definitely will.
Jamar, I'm sure you've seen the new rules where receivers can wear single digit numbers. Do you want to wear number one with the Bengals?
That's the plan. Getting back in one. I think that's my goal right there. I think that's what I want to do. Well, that's what I want to do. That's not what I think.
Jamar, before this draft, have you been to Ohio before? And what do you remember about just ever watching the Bengals growing up?
Yeah, I've never been to Ohio, actually. This is actually my first time close to Ohio. So I'm going to be out there tomorrow. I can't wait to see what's in store. So I'm just going to soak it all in. That'll be the best thing.
I don't know if you're aware the Bengals picked up Moss earlier this offseason at tight end and trying to bring the band back together, it looks like.
I definitely do see we trying to get the old team back together. You know, I can dig it. I like it. You know, I can't wait to talk to Thad, talk to my old guy. He actually texted me during his draft and letting me know, you know, I see you doing your thing and stuff like that. So I can't wait to go back and have a chat with those guys.
Jamar, how tough was this sitting out and, you know, everyone else is playing? Unless you didn't have a great year, but still knowing what you had done the year before. And how do you convince NFL teams that that was the thing to do and you were ready for the NFL without having made this past season?
Yeah. It was actually a task for me. You know, this is my first time ever sitting out of football. I actually started football late So I started at like 9 years old. So that was my first time stopped playing football ever since I started playing. So it was a little difficult for me at first. You know, I was actually thinking about hopping back in. But, you know, for the most part, it was just, you know, a great way to build yourself up and find who I am, you know, recognize myself, have more control of my mind and stuff like that. So I think it was a better way for me, you know, to become a man.
Couple more minutes.
Bengals have had some great wide receivers over the years, Jamar, most recently AJ Green, and before that, Chad Johnson. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on those two guys and following in that legacy?
I'm going to break every record they got at the Bengals. That's my goal right there. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to break every record they have. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but it's going to get done.
Speaking of getting it done, there was the Icky Shuffle here, one of the best dances in the NFL. You have a unique dance that kind of you raised the profile of it in Louisiana. Talk about that dance, and are you bringing that celebration?
The Gritty actually is something we took really, really big. Me, Justin, and this dude named Gritty from New Orleans. I showed Justin Jefferson it, you know, Gritty showed me it, and it really just took off from there. I'm glad Justin got it popping now. We got it on video games, so I think that's something pretty cool. But, you know, it's amazing just watching stuff like that happen in front of our eyes now.
The Bengals offensive coordinator Brian Callahan said that he envisions you as the X receiver, and that was A.J. Green's position for a decade. Based on your confidence, you feel like you can fill those shoes, right?
Definitely. I'm playing inside and outside, so it don't matter where they put me at. I'm going to do everything I can on the field, make plays.
Any more questions for Jamar?
Yeah, where did you make most of your plays in the 2019 season, inside or outside, or was it pretty equal?
Majority of my explosive plays came from the outside. I had maybe like three routes from the inside that I scored on that was long yards. But majority of my explosive plays came from outside.
Jamar, there's a good amount of LSU guys now on the roster. How quickly do you guys want to hear neck at Paul Brown Stadium?
You said how fast do we want to hear neck?
Correct, yes.
That's funny. I wouldn't mind hearing it, actually. That'll be something pretty cool, actually, here. I would probably start laughing like I just did if I heard it. It's been a while since I heard it, so I wouldn't mind hearing it again.
One last question.
Hey, you mentioned the icy hot game. What is the coldest weather you've ever played in, and was that a thought, or is it a thought in your mind at all, what that's going to be like for you?
The coldest game I played in was Arkansas my freshman year. I put on sleeves that game to make it less cold, but you know, I'm going to be prepared for it. Not nothing like I never faced before. Only thing I haven't played in is snow. So I'm pretty sure I'll get that probably. But you know, for the most part, I'm going to try to be prepared, more prepared than I ever been. So I'm looking forward to it.